Oh my! Coming up, we've got some great gaming gear, a look at the Kobo ebook reader, and the long-awaited review of the Nexus 4. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Before You Buy.
Doo-doo. Ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding- show. We get all the latest.
Oh, sorry.
She's a drummer.
I was playing Rock Band in my mind.
The latest and greatest gadgets in, and our staff, our talented staff, reviews them. The woman who handles and coordinates all those reviews, Shannon Morse, is here. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
Now, let's face it. You've got, in your office, you've got an array of products. I mean, it looks like a computer store in there.
Kind of is.
Do you cherry pick the best stuff for yourself?
Yeah, maybe. I save them all for you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then I get the second best.
That's right. Actually, I have the popcorn hour, and I didn't get a chance to review it this week, so I'll review it next week. But you're going to review an e-book reader that gets short shrift, and I'm glad you are reviewing it. We always talk about the Kindle and maybe the Nook, but this is the Kobo. Tell me about
it. Yeah, you hear all about those, but you don't hear about this company called Kobo.
Yeah.
They have all of their different products available at Kobo.com, and this one specifically is cool because it's called the Kobo Glow, and it has a little built-in light so that you can read this at night or during the day. And it's still an e-ink reader, so it doesn't have that disgusting backlight that a lot of them do. It just has a simple little, I don't know if you can see it on the screen.
So this is a little like Amazon's Paperwhite, which does kind of the same same thing.
Yeah, you can kind of see
normally with e-ink, you need a light to shine on it, just like you would a real book. But these, they glow. And now, how was it reading it at night?
It was great. They actually have their own bookstore, and they're all EPUBs. And they're all also DRM-free, so you can put them on pretty much anything that you would like.
I like that.
Yeah. And it was very, very easy to read at night. I could read this in bed, and my fiancé didn't wake up from the glow because it just glows onto the screen. Whenever you look at it, the light doesn't refract onto your face. It just goes onto the screen itself.
And how was it on your eyes? I mean, one of the things people talk about reading on a tablet, of course, the tablet is lit as well, but they say it's hard to read for a long period of time. This is easier?
It's fine. Yeah. It's the regular touchscreen e-ink reader itself. So it doesn't have any kind of LCD in it or anything. And it's also, it's 6 inches, so it's very light. So if you fall asleep, it's not going to give you a nice black eye if it falls on your face.
It is crisp, though, like e-ink.
It has an XGA Pearl e-ink screen on it. So it's very, very crisp. It's very easy to read. You can also change the text on it if you like. The thing that I really liked about this one is, other than it being incredibly light, it's very simple. It's specifically made for reading books. It doesn't have a whole bunch of extra gadgets built into it or anything like that. It does come with a couple of different colors that you can choose.
Oh, I like the back, yeah.
It looks kind of red on the computer screens, but it's actually a bright pink color. It also comes with blue, silver, and a black version as well. And they run about $129, so it's a decently priced one.
It's more expensive than the Kindle. Yeah,
it's kind of expensive, but for
my concern would be the ecosystem, because Kindle, you've got the whole Amazon bookstore.
That was my concern as well. So my first thought when I was going into their bookstore was, am I going to be able to read everything on my Kindle that I bought in here?
And will they have all the, because it's EPUB, which is easily played on almost anything.
Yes,
but do they have all the titles that you were looking for?
They did. Yeah, they have a huge range. There's at least 3 million different books that you can download on their website. Lots of different books. And they do PDFs. They do EPUBs. You can also include, if you have a whole bunch downloaded onto your computer, a 32 gig card in here. So you can include...
That's a micro SD card?
Yes, micro SD card. And it also has 2 gigs built into it. So you can walk around with... I believe they say at least 300,000 books in your pocket.
This might be a good choice. Let me take a look at how it feels, because I'm a big Kindle fan, and I always recommend the Kindle just because it's kind of a no-brainer.
Right.
And the Amazon store and all that. But this is, I like the, it's a little bit thicker than a Kindle, a little squarer, but it feels pretty good in the hand.
It's very light. Even, you know, with my teeny tiny female hands, I can still hold it in one hand, and it's lightweight. It's only 6 ounces.
The page turn is very snappy. It does have that flicker that all e-ink screens have, but it's not as, it's better than some. I mean, it's pretty quick.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. I did notice whenever you have to, if you're typing in something, if you're using the search or the dictionary functions on there, the typing does take a little bit longer, and that kind of drives me nuts because I'm a very fast typer, even with teeny tiny QWERTY keyboards. So that drove me a little bit crazy. But overall, I really, really like this product, and I'm very happy that I got the chance to review it because It's not your first thought.
Right.
Yeah, it's not your first thought. It doesn't get enough coverage, and I feel like it really should.
Pros and cons.
So, pros. It has the comfort light, which is their own patented light that's inside of it.
Yeah.
It also, it's small, it's thin, it's really lightweight, under a pound. It's only 6 ounces.
Yeah, it's very, I'll vouch for that.
Carry in your purse. Yeah. And it's so simple. It's just an e-ink reader. That's all it is, and that's all they were going for with this.
And no ads either.
Yeah, no ads. That's
so you have
really,
to compare
really
it to the ad-free version of the Kindle, which is a little more.
And then my only cons were this was the slow touchscreen whenever you're typing on it, and it is rather expensive at $129.
Yeah.
So if you do include the price point in there, I give it a try.
So a try, not a buy.
Not a buy, just because I feel like it's slightly too expensive for the simplicity of the product.
A try for the Kobo.
Yeah.
Now, we gave Chad, thank you, Shannon Morse,
anytime,
producer of Before You Buy, and host of the fine ThreatWire show, which you can watch on youtube.com/techfeed with Darren Kitchen. And you talk about technology and security and all
security
that stuff.
Security for the internets.
Yeah, I like that. That's great. That's every week? You do that weekly?
Yeah, every week. It comes out on Sundays now.
Good.
We moved it from Fridays to Sundays.
Sundays is a good day. I've learned a good day for podcasts.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good
to
hear.
Who'd have thunk it? So we've got, we give these to Chad because he's kind of our gamer in the group. And we've
he's
got a number, a three different gaming keyboard, headset, and mouse from Rock Hat. Let's see what Chad Johnson had to say about him. Chad?
Hello, my name is Chad. I'm with TWiT and Before You Buy, and today I am reviewing some Rock Hat gaming accessories. I called them Rock Hat because it is spelled R-O-C-C-A-T. The way they actually pronounce it is Rocket. The things that I have for you today are a gaming headset, a gaming keyboard, and a gaming mouse. This is all in the Rocket series. I have the Savu mouse, the Isku keyboard, and the Crave headset. So, how we're going to do this is we will go through the Savu, the Isku, and then end with the Crave. So, the Savu is this gaming mouse. It has 4,000 DPI optical sensor at the bottom. It has two customizable mouse buttons on the side. It has a really nice textured grip on the side. This textured grip worked great when either I had greasy fingers from chips or a sweaty palm from a really intense gaming session. I really liked the textured grip on the side. Also, it has this sort of multicolor lighting at the bottom. Right now, because I don't have a color set, it's just going to sort of fade between a few different colors. Also, it has a braided cable, which is nice for, one, it doesn't tangle when as much when you travel, and two, it slides nicely along the table when you're trying to move it around for gaming. Next, let's move on to the Isku keyboard. This is a non-mechanical keyboard, so for people who are really wanting a mechanical keyboard, sorry, this isn't your option, but this is probably the best keyboard that I found for gaming that isn't a mechanical keyboard. The keys are backlit, and it has six different variabilities on the light level, so you could have it off or up to full brightness. There are five dedicated macro buttons here on the side for if you need to use macros in your games. There's also three thumb toggle buttons, which are customizable, which was really nice because it's positioned right under the space bar, and my thumb is articulate enough to really use those keys. I like them a lot. There's also 8 media keys along the top, which you can customize a little bit more, but there's play, pause, sound up and sound down, and mute, which was really nice. There's a live macro recording button right on the top. Also, this keyboard has a really nice no-slip bass. You can see that if I push on it right here, it moves a little bit, but most keyboards would just fall off the table. I really liked the no-slip bass on this keyboard. Finally, let's move on to the Crave. This is a 5.1 gaming headset, and this, I have to say, 5.1 was awesome. This is the first gaming headset that says that it has had, that says that it has surround sound where I really believed it. When playing Skyrim, there was a few times where it'd be like, someone in my house because I can hear footsteps behind me. Really, really nice. The headset comes with a small mixer attached to the cord. So they give you enough cord to sit down in your, you know, gaming chair and move around. And then there's this sort of little mixer that comes with it. This has a door, and you can control your center channel, the front channel, rear channel, and your subwoofer. It also has a toggle for either game mode or another mode, which is by default movie mode, but you can set that on your own. It also has a volume sort of click wheel, and in the middle is a mute button. There's also a mic mute button on the side. Now, the connectors at the bottom, it requires a PC that has 5.1 connectors. You can just use just plain old stereo, and that'll work just fine. But you won't get the benefit of 5.1. It's not through the USB. The USB here is to power the headset, so you'll need a free USB on your gaming tower. The headset also folds up, which is a little bit, it's kind of a nice feature. It's sort of a little bit more compact than when it's unfolded. Now, the microphone on this. I had some problems with this mic. First off, it's detachable, which is kind of nice. So if you don't want the mic at all, you can pull it right off. But the connector that is holding it in is a little bit flimsy. If it just comes out just a little bit, which is you know very easy to do. At the end, there is a blue LED which turns off when the microphone is muted, which is nice. It's a really nice visual representation of when you're live or when you're not. Now, I actually didn't get to test any of that function because my microphone seems to be broken. It doesn't work when I plug it into the computer, into my phone, into my iPad, into my laptop. I could not figure out how to get this mic working, tried the mute button, tried everything I could. I decided to go through the normal channels to try to get a replacement headset. So I went to the website and tried to get a warranty replacement. I sent that email maybe 5 weeks ago and still have not heard anything back. Check my spam filter, everything. I didn't get a confirmation when I sent in the form. Maybe there was an internet snafu and the form just didn't get sent in, but I have not heard a word from them on getting this replaced. So that was a big bummer, just in microphone design, that it's very flimsy, and the fact that it didn't work at all ever. Now let's get into the pros and cons of these devices. First, the gaming mouse that comes in at $60. This is the Savu. I really, really enjoyed the grip of the mouse. The light at the back was kind of a fun accent. I actually ended up enjoying it. And it was really, really responsive, even on a table without a mouse pad. So this was a glossy wooden table. I felt like there was no hindrance at all. And I never felt like, oh, the mouse is jittery because it can't see the table. A really responsive design. For the cons, it's a right-handed design only. So if you're a lefty, sorry, you are out of luck. You could try to use it in your left hand, but just doing that, I can already tell that it just feels weird. And that's about the only con that I have for it. Next, the gaming keyboard coming in at $90. This is the Isku. I really liked the keys. The keys are about as close as you can get to mechanical keys without spending the money for mechanical keys. It was just It's a keyboard. You're going to use the keys all the time. And I was really, really satisfied with the feel and the travel of these keys. The wrist rest was awesome. I really like the fact that it's built in. It's not a separate piece. It doesn't get detached from the keyboard ever. And the backlighting was really nice because I tend to game in the dark. On the cons, the media keys are not backlit. Also, it boasts this cable management system at the bottom. I was not able to route a cable through and keep it in place. Maybe if I put scotch tape down to keep the cable down while I set it down, maybe that would work. But the cable management that they tout on the website was just kind of, I couldn't figure. They need some sort of latch to keep your cables in, because the second you put it in, it falls right back out, and it was just unusable. Now, moving on to the headset. This comes in at $120 and is the Crave version. For the pros, 5.1 really was 5.1, and man, did I love it. I also really like the mixer and being able to hit my a mute button and have a really easy way to control volume. That was really useful. For the cons, the microphone. Everything about it. The fact that mine was broken, the fact that it just seems flimsy when it's in the side here, and, I didn't get to test the quality because mine was broken. Also, the headband of this headset uses these, what they call pressure-relieving pads. They are not a full headband. They're sort of squares, and when I put them on my head, my hair actually would get caught in the middle, and it would pull my hair. It became very uncomfortable, especially after a few hours of gaming where there's slight movements and your hair gets caught right up in there. A very uncomfortable design at the top. Finally, this is not a mobile solution. If you were hoping to spend $120 on a headset that you could take with you anywhere and you could plug into your laptop as well as your desktop, sort of buy one thing and cover all bases, that's not what you're going to get with this headset. This power brick is too big to travel with, and the cables are too unwieldy. And in order to get the 5.1, you actually need a 5.1 setup that is normally only available on a desktop. So that's this headset. Now, buy, try, don't buy. We'll go down the line a final time. For the Savu Gaming Mouse, coming in at $60, this is a buy. If you are looking for a gaming mouse in the $60 range, absolutely, I really recommend this mouse. For the Isku Gaming Keyboard, coming in at $90, this is another buy. If this has all the features you want and is in your price range, I would really recommend this keyboard. Really like the no slip. I really liked the hand rest. Finally, for the Crave 5.1 headset, coming in at $120, don't buy. I was very not happy with the uncomfortable headband and the fact that the mic didn't work, even though the 5.1 blew me away. It was the best 5.1 surround sound experience I've ever enjoyed, and that was nice, but all in all, $120 for this headset, I wouldn't do it. Thank you so much for watching. I've been Chad Johnson for Before You Buy.
All right, so a bye-bye, don't buy.
Yep.
From Chad Johnson for the Rock Cat, and this was the don't buy, and mostly, I think, what, because of the microphone was...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is, they're kind of, they look strong.
They are, yeah.
The sound is strong.
The 5.1 surround is really nice, but yeah, the mic just didn't work out so well.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Chad. Chad, of course, hosts OMG Craft, our Minecraft show, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday evenings, and produces all the big shows, Twit, MacBreak Weekly, This Week in Google. And he has very red hair. I think you might have noticed. All right, we're going to get to our long-awaited and much anticipated Nexus 4 review. Tony Wang has a look at the latest, hottest phone from Google. But first, I got a word of warning. The post office is changing stamp prices. They're going up once again. You know what that means? Long lines at the post office as people go to buy new stamps. Everybody but us. Everybody but you if you use stamps.com. Stamps.com means you don't have to go to the post office ever again. Everything you could do at the post office, you could do at your desk, including buy and print official U.S. postage with your computer and your printer. This is not a postage meter. There are no special inks. It's simple. What you've already got, what you need. All you need is stamps.com. Stamps.com also has great deals for you. Discounts you can't get at the post office, up to 21% on express mail, 15% on priority mail. If you do a lot of shipping, you'll love it because you can send an email to your recipient with tracking numbers. It's very easy. You probably will end up never typing in addresses because Stamps.com can pick up your addresses from the computer, from your address book, your QuickBooks. If you sell on a website like Amazon or PayPal, eBay, Etsy, Yahoo, Google Checkout, etc., it pulls that information right from your shopping cart. If you're sending international mail, easy peasy. It'll fill out all the forms for you. And then, no, you don't get up and go to the post office. The mail carrier comes to you. You can even schedule free pickups anytime. Stamps.com is really great for anybody who does a lot of mailing, and we've got a special offer for you. I want you to try it. Visit Stamps.com, and look at that, an $80. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Stop. Click that microphone in the upper right-hand corner. That $80 special value when you type in before you buy, one word, turns into $110 value, including $55 in postage coupons. Free postage you can use over the first few months of your account. You get the digital scale. That new aluminum one's really sweet, a $5 supply kit and a four-week trial. All you have to do is use the offer code before you buy. Stamps.com for the professional mailer. For people who mail all the time, it's a great deal. Stamps.com. All right. We gave Tony Wang. It's already disappeared. I want this phone. It's the hot new phone out there. Yeah, it did. It already disappeared. Who stole the Nexus 4? Let's take a look at Tony Wang's review.
Tony Wang for 2L TV. And before you buy, and today I'm reviewing the LG Nexus 4.
We have the Nexus 4 made by LG for Google. And it is a current Nexus device. And what that means is that the phone is actually running stock Android with no third-party manufacturer skin on top. It is the most current version of Android. It is running Android 4.2 Jelly Bean. And out of the box, you will get an update right out of the box. I purchased this phone from Google directly from the Play Store. And rumor has it that the phone will also be readily available from T-Mobile starting, I believe, end of January. So if you can wait, I will order the phone from Google Play Store. There's two variations of the phone, 8GB and 16GB, starting at $299 and $349. There is no expandable memory slot, no micro SD card slot, so you are sort of stuck with whatever storage you get out of the box. So let me go through the specs really quick. We're looking at a 4.7-inch display, 1280 by 768 pixel. It's about 320 ppi. It is what LG calls a WXA IPS display. And the display is covered in Corning Gorilla Glass 2. And for those of you keeping track, right now we're currently on Corning Gorilla 3. The Nexus 4 is running Qualcomm Snapdragon S4 Pro quad-core CPU. And the phone weighs in at 139 grams, which is pretty average weight for a phone with a 4.7-inch display. On the back, you have an 8-megapixel rear-facing camera with autofocus and LED flash. And the front, you have the 1.3-megapixel forward-facing camera for your selfies. The phone does not come with 4G LTE support in the base radio, so you are stuck on GSM, UMTS, and HSPA+. But if you're in the U.S., HSPA Plus is actually not too bad. I'm getting pretty good speed on T-Mobile, and I also heard good things about AT&T as well. And with more and more phones moving to 4G LTE, I can only imagine the performance on HSPA Plus would be better. As I mentioned before, the phone comes with either 8GB or 16GB internal storage. And of course, with the OS running, you actually have less storage than that. The phone actually comes with 2GB of RAM, which complements the CPU very well. There's no slowdown in anything I do on this phone at all. And the only slow part is when I have poor reception and I'm waiting for web pages to load or apps to update. If you look at the phone around the edges, you got buttons on the left side and the right side. You have your power button on the right and your volume toggle on the left. And the 3.5 millimeter headphone jack is on top and your micro USB port is on the bottom. The phone does support wireless charging via the Qi standard, and it does charge a little bit slower than over micro USB, but it's a very convenient feature, and it also comes with NFC. I have yet to find a use case for the NFC, but wireless charging I've been using at home a lot, and it works really well for me. And speaking of charging, the phone comes with a 2100 milliamp hour lithium polymer battery, and it is not removable because the phone is glass on the front as well as the back, a la iPhone 4, 4S. So one of the biggest selling points of the Nexus 4 and all the Nexus phones from Google is that you're getting the quote-unquote pure Android experience directly from Google. So anytime there's an update, a software update, this phone will get it first. There's no carrier standing in your way and slowing down your update process. I know a lot of people on Verizon with the Google Nexus was complaining how it took them several weeks, even a couple months before they were able to get their Jollibee update. And with Jollibee, the greatest feature, in my opinion, is Google Now. And a lot of people have experienced Google Now already using the Nexus 7 tablet, which is sort of the entry-level drug for Google Now as well as Jollibee. And that's mainly because of the price point. It's a lot cheaper. It's a 7-inch tablet for $199. So you're looking at $100 less with 3 more inches. And from my personal experience, Google Now has been really accurate and I want to say smart. It's because it's smart enough to figure out where you live for the most part and also where you work. And if it doesn't figure that out by itself, you can always, you know, go in their settings and set your address where you actually work and where you actually live. Why you will want the phone to know is because it will tell you every time you launch Google Now that the distance and as well as the traffic and the time that it takes you to get home. It doesn't sound like that's a very necessary feature, but it is way more useful than you expect. I mean, anywhere you go, anywhere you are, if your GPS is on, it will tell you you're 30 minutes from home, you're 54 minutes from home, and it gives you the option to navigate right in Google Now. So if you don't know how to get on the freeway, you have your navigation right there. And also, the more you use Google Now, the more it learns about you, and it will tell you, because Google Now is connected to all your Google accounts, when you set it up, it'll tell you things like, oh, there is an event on your calendar, it also tells you the weather, depending on where you are, and it also shows nearby social events like concerts. Like, I had no idea the Muse is going to be at Oracle Arena, but Google knows. It also shows you things like movie times in nearby theaters. As I mentioned before, the performance of the phone is phenomenal. There is totally no slowdown whatsoever whenever I'm doing anything. I got 10 apps running at the same time and I have no issues with any lag whatsoever. Let me move on to the camera because everybody wants to know about the camera. The Nexus 4 comes with an 8-megapixel rear-facing camera, which is sort of the industry standard now. And I do have a couple gripes about it. Autofocus is not as accurate as I like it to be. And low-light performance is also not as good as a Samsung Note 2 or a Galaxy S3. Phone does record HD video in 1080p. And the camera app also comes with a new feature that's new for Jollibee, which is the Photosphere. The easiest way to describe Photosphere would be, it's basically, just imagine the street view in Google Maps, and you have the ability to take those picture, those panorama sphere picture on your phone, and the phone does pretty decent job stitching all the images together, as long as you're stable enough and you take your time taking the images, and you can get pretty good results. Another complaint about the phone is the IPS display. It's not as saturated as Samsung OLED displays, but it's also not oversaturated to the point where the display is poking you in the eyeball, like in the case of the Razer Max HD, where the display is just completely oversaturated and everything you look at is sort of jumping out of the display, trying to rip your eyeballs out of your sockets.
Now for the pros and cons of the Nexus 4, I'm going to start with a con first. One of the cons is the 8 megapixel camera. The low light performance is not the greatest out of all the phones in the market right now, nor is the autofocus. Sometimes it just spends too much time hunting for the focus, so you would miss your shot at times if it's an action shot. And the other con I have is the display of this phone. It is, even though an IPS, it is not the most saturated phone out there, and you can think of it sort of the opposite of the Razer Max HD, where the phone is completely oversaturated and it hurts your eye when you're looking at the phone. Pro of the phone is basically everything else. Everything else that comes with the phone or doesn't come with the phone, which is all the bloatware, all the skins that you would get from the manufacturer, and everything that you don't need in a pure Google experience. Buy, try, or don't buy, it is definitely a buy for the Nexus 4. Doesn't matter who you're buying it from T-Mobile or directly from Google, from the Play Store. It is a buy for the 8GB model, it is buy for the 16GB model, and is a buy from T-Mobile even at a premium price. And I have to say, life is good with the Nexus 4.
So you already, Shannon, you already bought one.
Yeah, it just came back
after you saw the review
today.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm getting one.
Yeah, you know, the advantage of this, besides the price, which is really low, is that it's a vanilla Google phone. You don't have any additional stuff. None of the Samsung or the Motorola bloatware or any of that stuff. You get the real, and you get updated. Mm-hmm. So you have the latest version of Jelly Bean and all that stuff. And it's pretty. This is kind of cool. The back, and I don't know if there's any way to see it, but it kind of
reminds me of a disco ball.
Well, I was thinking the Matrix, but okay, disco ball. Yeah, I could go with that too. It shifts as you tilt it. You just have to see one in person. So thank you, Tony, for that review, and thank you for the Nexus 4. I'll be just, no, I like this. You bought one. I'm glad to hear it. It's a good price.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up and walk. All right, now let's see. We haven't done this before. Let me see if I can do this. I'm going to tiptoe over to see somebody that you all know, Justin Robert Young, who is the host of our fabulous show, NSFW. I see him over there sitting in the TNT set all alone.
Nobody here.
And lonely.
Exactly.
Hey, Justin.
How you doing, Leo?
Do you like to be called Jury?
Sure.
J-R-Y?
I think Jury's fine.
Or Justin.
It's stuck.
Which do you prefer? It's stuck.
I mean, now that I'm a serious reviewer.
Journalist here.
Yeah, serious. I'm putting on my journalist pants. Justin's probably good for this particular segment.
All right. What did we give you to review?
This is the Aviq Portable Charging Station.
It looks like a kit. It's got a case and everything.
So, I mean, the way that you'll normally see it is in this kind of attaché case here. And it's obviously designed for people who travel a lot, you know, which I do. And I was very, very excited to give it a test run, specifically since if you are on the road a lot, you've experienced that terror of watching your battery on your iPhone or your iPad or any kind of mobile device just trick down to zero, especially in situations like airplane rides stuff like that, where all of a sudden you realize that you have 4 hours to go on this flight and you're not going to be able to use these devices.
Juice failure is a terrible thing.
The worst.
I hate that. So is this a big-ass battery in a bag?
So it is a 5,200
milliamp hours. That's a lot.
Ton of power.
That's enough to charge an iPhone 4 or 5 times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What I kind of came to realize is the relative battery size on stuff like I travel with an iPhone 5 and an iPad 3 or the new iPad before it was the new iPad.
Right. The old new
at the
iPad.
End of the year.
The previous Retina.
Exactly. So the beginning of 2012. And the battery on that is a monster.
Right.
You know, this thing doesn't even really do much of a dent from zero on an iPad 3.
Interesting.
But an iPhone 5, you no can problem. Definitely, yeah. Right. Now, the awesome part about it is having that solution in the middle of the wilderness. If,
right.
if you are, you know, a lot of what I do when I'm not here entertaining folks on the Twit Network is run scavenger hunts all over the country.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, work for the Go Game. And part of doing that is scouting game zones, going to different cities, finding different things to write about. And in that case, this was an absolute lifesaver.
So you really do travel all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, I came from Charlotte this morning. Wow, I woke up okay. in Charlotte, and now I'm here talking about this, and I use this on the plane.
So you go home to the hotel room, you plug this in, you charge it overnight so that it's fully charged.
Absolutely.
And now you've got a lot of juice in your pocket.
And that is where I found to be super, super helpful is just a easy way that I can plug into.
And it has the plug?
Yeah. So what it does is it has
give
four.
Give us a demo here.
USB slots and these cord wrappers so you can
okay.
keep things organized, which we'll get into in a second. I didn't personally use all that much, but you just plug.
So that's the four USB ports right on that.
Yeah, you plug it right here and then you just turn
You're
it on.
You're turning it on, okay.
Let me just see. I don't know.
Now it's been fully charged. I see you have a plug on the back of it. That you would have plugged into the wall overnight.
Yeah, so this goes into here.
It's a little power dongle. Okay.
And then you plug that Got into it. The wall. So I show up in the hotel, I plug that in, and now all of a sudden, you know, I have four,
right.
you know, I can charge four things.
At the same time?
Yeah, at the same time. And if it's plugged into the wall, so now it's just kind of operating as a splitter, basically. And that I found super useful. I use that probably more than I used it as an emergency
it's a USB
source of
hub?
Power. So, yeah.
Basically like a powered USB hub.
Now, and really this is where the negative elements of it come in, because everything that I loved about this, I can get in another device
right.
that's probably not going to cost
much.
As much. This is $160 or $159.99.
That's pricey.
It's pricey.
Yeah.
And for me, who travels all the time, I got a lot of use out of it. I don't know if I got $160 worth of use that I couldn't split up into other devices
right.
if I were trying to build my own solution.
Right.
The other thing is that they have a cheaper version of this, which they, with a less powerful battery, but doesn't have these cord wrappers. And I really didn't use these. The other version has like just little pockets. And I found that to be a more attractive solution for me, having used this for a little while. If I were going to buy one, I would have bought that one, and that's only $60.
Mm-hmm.
So you're paying the $100 more for the more powerful battery and this kind of
And some pieces of plastic.
Yeah, this utility. Yeah. And so that's the $60 version.
Yeah.
Right there. If I were to go, you know, if I were to buy it on my own,
the pockets are almost better because you can store the phone or the iPod in the kit.
Absolutely.
So I almost like that better.
And to be honest, I would have been more comfortable doing that. I mean, you pay a lot of money for these,
right.
for an iPhone 5, something like that. And I felt uncomfortable just leaving it in this attaché case when you have these sort of sharp plastic edges there, because you don't want it to come out with scuffs.
So pros and cons.
Here are the pros. It is, again, an absolute lifesaver when you're on the road and you are dead on power. This is it will get you to full charge, especially on a phone. It is great for the overnight multi-charge solution.
I do like that.
Yeah.
Plug one, because that's always a problem. There's never enough plugs in a hotel room.
And that's, and
plug it in once, you charge four.
And the one thing that you can say for it is, you know, in the same way, it's like, you know, the best camera you have is the one you always have on you.
Right.
If you have a multi USB hub, maybe that gets lost at the bottom of your luggage.
Right.
I always knew where this was and
that's
how
big.
I could use
that's
it because it was big enough. Which brings us to the cons.
Yeah.
When you are traveling, size is a constant problem. You want to make sure that you are reserving as much space as possible because, you know, it is at a premium. This is bulky.
Yeah.
It's probably among the biggest things that aren't like the devices themselves that I'm going to put in my luggage. The battery, it's not exactly the way that you tell how much it's charged isn't particularly intuitive. There's like two lights, and I couldn't tell for the life of me whether that meant I got a full charge out of my phone, out of my iPad. I really didn't know. And again, these pieces of plastic, I'm really not in love with them. I mean, I guess you can theoretically wrap this around here.
I think that's silly.
It wasn't exactly intuitive to me. And again, it's a big battery, but we're dealing with more and more with devices that have more and more capacity. So outside of a phone, if you're looking for a tablet charger, it's not going to necessarily be.
Not enough for an iPad 3.
Yeah.
So buy, try, don't buy.
I'm going to say don't buy.
Give us your verdict.
You know,
it's okay. Don't feel bad. Sometimes I know it hurts. You think there's somebody spent a lot of time designing this thing. It's okay. He's moved on.
I just think there's better solutions out there.
Just remember your Sicilian heritage. Go for the throat.
Absolutely.
I say don't buy.
You know, it's just it's not buying for me. I mean.
Justin Robert Young hosts NSFW. One of these days we will get you on the album art. I'll be honest with you, the reason you're not is because I just love watching these people on Twitter begging.
Absolutely. Well, now we have to change it because Brian changed his hair.
I know. So when we change it, maybe we'll put a JRY icon on there.
You can make me a gleam in his eye. You can just put a tiny little
Look
me.
Look closely into his eye and exactly. Brian's eye and you'll see.
Maybe we've changed it already.
You don't know, do you?
You don't know.
Thank you, Justin. It's great to see you.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
And come by anytime. Thanks to Shannon Morse, our producer and reviewer, Tony Wang, editor-in-chief here at Twit, Chad Johnson, our producer and host of OMG Craft, and, of course, Justin Robert Young, host of NSFW. Thanks to you for watching. You can get all our reviews on our brand-new YouTube site, youtube.com/... Where am I? Am I there? Where am I? There it is. I want to tell people, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. That's our new YouTube site. You can subscribe there to get each individual review or go there and search for review if there's a product you're interested in. Of course, we do this show every Tuesday afternoon. You can watch us live, but if you miss it, on-demand audio and video are also available at twit.tv/BYB. Email us with products you'd like to see us review. A lot of people wanted that Nexus 4. It took us a little while to get one from Google, but once we did, I hope you enjoyed that review. BYB@twit.tv is the email address. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. And remember, you gotta watch before you buy. See you next time.